Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Glass, and I thank you for joining me today as we continue on in a message I've entitled Kingdom Principles in Finances. And I shared as I began this week that it's been a very long time since I've shared on this subject. And it's important for new listeners or for young Christians, or even if you've walked with the Lord for a while, there's always things that we can learn. There's always new understandings and revelation through familiar scriptures. I'm certain if you walk with the Lord any length of time, you've found that to be true. And this is one area, in fact, I believe I've heard said that there's no other subject mentioned quite so much in the Bible as that of finances. So obviously, it's important to us, no question. We need it to survive and exist in this world, but also, apparently, it's quite important to the Lord, not certainly that He needs anything. He doesn't need money. He says, the silver and gold is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. Everything belongs to Him. So He doesn't have any needs. But what He is interested in is how do we approach the whole area of money and finances as His people. Now, as far as the world, it's very obvious they are worshiping at the altar of mammon, that unrighteous mammon, the mammon of unrighteousness, the wealth of this world. That is what causes the world to go round. People are seeking after it. They steal it. They manage to work fraudulently to steal other people's money. I couldn't believe it. I heard it on 60 Minutes the other day. There are actually life insurance companies that after a client dies, they're not even distributing the money to their heirs. They're keeping it unless that person, the benefactor, actually goes to them and say, you know, and announces. But they have knowledge of death, and they're still not. They've kept untold millions of dollars. Anyway, that's the world system. It's not surprising. Anything people can do to cheat, to steal, to oppress in any way they can, that because that's the primary goal, to be able to get as much money as you can so you can enjoy all the pleasures of this world as well as the power that goes with having money. So, beloved, our interest should be, as God's people, what should our focus and attention be? We should be interested in God's kingdom because, beloved, this world, it is not our home. We're looking toward a city not made with hands. Hallelujah. And so God is looking at several things. The motivation of our heart. He gives us admonitions or guidelines in the scripture on how to deal with finances. And He also desires us to pursue perfection or maturity, completeness. So, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, the scripture tells us. And beloved, has your money been delivered from the power of this world system? You know, money is power. Does money have power over you? Does it control you? How you answer those questions, honestly, is very critical and important, because we need to hold money and finances, investments, whatever wealth God has given. Some of you have very, very little. Some of you have a really blessed of God. You have an abundance. And so, again, the Lord is looking at the motivation of your heart. If you do have an abundance of resources, do you look at those resources as being simply gifts from God that you are used that you are to use not only to provide for all of your needs comfortably, but also to be able to bless others, to bless the work of the Lord, to see His kingdom advance. That's what it means to lay up treasures in heaven, where you put your focus on spiritual things. Now, the world would think that's crazy. Why are you giving money to a church? Why are you giving your hard-earned money to a ministry? They don't understand, because if we have freely received, we desire to freely give. And that's the only place, Malachi, I'm getting away from my message, but not the subject matter, but in Malachi, that's the only place God says, in the entire word, prove me now herewith, says the Lord, and see if I will not open up to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Praise God. And let's look at another scripture. We're to walk in the Spirit. We're not to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Here, Romans 8:13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify or kill the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And so, beloved, money is simply a tool for us as God's people. Now, what does the Bible have to say? What admonition, what guidelines, what limitations or instructions, I should say, that God, what did God provide for us as His people? Well, how can we have victory? Well, I would suggest to you through a scriptural principle that is mentioned in the book of Leviticus. You say, Sister Glass, that's Old Testament. Yes, I know it is. But you see, God's principles are the same. He doesn't change His character. He is the Spirit of truth. And even though we have a new covenant, now that law was perfect in its beauty. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I just came to fulfill it. It was our schoolmaster to show us that we were incapable of keeping the law. And so Jesus came, He provided our redemption, the atonement, and now this is a period and an epoch of grace, if you will, where God has, He covers our sins if we sin, and we will, because no one's perfect. He's just and faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But hear the word of the Lord through Leviticus 27:28. No devoted thing, notwithstanding, no devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast, and of the field of his possession shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. Hallelujah. None shall be redeemed, but shall surely, in verse 29 it says, shall sure, let me just read that. None devoted shall be devoted of men, shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death. Hallelujah. We see in the opening chapters of the book of Joshua, the children of Israel were going into the promised land, and God told Joshua that Jericho was accursed, that all the silver, all the gold, vessels of brass and iron were consecrated to the Lord and were to be put into the treasury of the Lord. But what happened? It was very clear. Nonetheless, the children of Israel, it's interesting, one person did this and his family, yet all of Israel suffered, because when they went up against Ai, they were soundly defeated. Just a little tiny town, not fortified like Jericho was. And the children of Israel committed a trespass, quote, in the accursed thing, for Achan stole and dissembled. He took a goodly Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. And then he says, I coveted them, I took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent. And of course, we know what happened to him. He and his entire family were killed. They were stoned as a direct defiance of what God had specifically commanded, and as a lesson to the children of Israel. And beloved, that's very significant. The entire body of Christ must learn this. Devotion means destruction. Like a burnt offering, that animal was totally given to the Lord. Totally. It was burned before the Lord. Destruction is a sign of its acceptance. And all money that is truly devoted to God must come under this same principle of destruction. In other words, it must cease to exist as far as you're concerned. Just imagine, suppose all your money was taken away from you. Well, of course, that would be something you wouldn't like. It would certainly be a trial and a challenge. But you know what? Then you would have to trust completely and rest completely on the everlasting arms of our God. You know, there are people that have had their homes, their residences totally destroyed. That might have been all that they possessed. Nonetheless, for a believer, God will undertake. Look at Job. He lost everything. He lost his children. He lost his wealth. He lost his herds. He lost his self-respect, his respect in the community. And yet God restored everything, because what was at stake there was that God wanted to see, would Job love him, continue to serve him, even though everything was taken from him. So, beloved, your wealth, the things you have, it must cease to exist as far as you're concerned. In other words, could you have it taken away from you? Or are you so attached to things, your jewelry, your important, expensive possessions? Beloved, that's where the heart of the matter lies. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, beloved, that's all connected with money. The brothers of Macedonia in 2 Corinthians 8:2, how tried though they were by many a trouble, their overflowing happiness and even their deep poverty resulted in a flood of generosity. For I give them witness, Paul says, and guarantee they were willing to give to the limit of their means, yea, and beyond their means, without the slightest urging from me or anyone else. They gave from the impulse of their hearts. They begged us most urgently to allow them the privilege of helping to supply the needs of the saints. They have done more than I expected, nor was their gift a mere cash payment. Instead, they made a complete dedication of themselves, first to the Lord and then to us as God's appointed minister. There we see the principle of destruction, or devotion, if you will. Beloved, it doesn't matter the amount of your resources, it's where your heart is at. Well, praise God, we will continue on this subject the next broadcast. I thank you for joining me. In a moment, the announcer will give our contact information. I so appreciate my partners and my radio family. Thank you for joining me today. I love you. And until next time, this is Sister Glassman saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.